Sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunaktu, sahaviryam karavavahai, tejasvi navadhitamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadada shiva sadi gaura bhakta vrinda. Hare krishna 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 hare hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, so let him fully consider the future and the immediate results of all undertakings, and the good and bad sides of all past actions.
180?
This is 178. We're just going over those two because they're quite important.
Yeah.
He who knows the good and evil which will result from his acts in the future is quick in forming resolutions for the present, will understand the consequences of past actions, and will not be conquered. Right? So if you know what means by an endeavor, what results you'll get, then you can immediately very quickly come to what I should do at present, right? And if you know, and you also know what was of use of the past and what was not, right? Does that make sense? So looking at past experience, past endeavors, if you know what's the results, you'll know what was good and not, so that'll make it easier to make a decision for present. You know what the results it will give for the future, then you know what to do for present, right? So the point is if you don't know what is the good and bad effects of an act, then you won't be able to make proper consideration. And then, according to this, then you'll be defeated. Right? So the idea is it's not just what you feel like, it's a matter of, you know, what you feel like combined. What you feel like is what you'll be inspired to do, but the point is you should be inspired to do something that's worthwhile, that actually does what you want. Does that make sense?
Hmm. Right. It depends on the good counsel of your ministers as well?
Yes. That's why I was saying before is that outside the court time, then he should be discussing with ministers. You know, what's you know, what things to do, what are the plans, how are things going, what works are already going on, and then anything to do with, you know, anything else that is there. So that's what he should be doing. But at the same time, it's also on his own he may be contemplating. But if it's a matter of action, you know, for himself he may contemplate alone, you know, about his own development or ideas he has and plans. But before he actually affects anything, he will discuss that with the minister, at least with the prime minister. You know, if it's a matter of, like himself personally, maybe only the prime minister. Or if it's something obvious for himself, he'll just do it. Some of political wisdom. Let him arrange everything in such a manner that no ally, no neutral, or no foe may injure him. That is the sum of political wisdom. Right? In other words, make your arrangements that no one can give you trouble. And if you do that, you'll never get trouble. Right? So that's actually what it's for. That's the thing, is it's actually very simple. You know, what you want to do is very simple. Difficulty is that we make things complicated, right? The detail. But the point is the detail is there for affecting a particular purpose, right? So if that purpose is not obtained, what's the use of all the detail? So if in principle you stick to that, that's always simple. Then you add detail to it to make it work. Does that make sense? You start with the principle, you know, what it is you want, and then work out what's in between. Like that. Let him be very much on his guard against the friend who secretly serves the enemy, and against deserters who return from the enemy's camp. For such men are the most dangerous foes. Right. I mean, somebody who's come back, then he knows you, but he could be working for the other side. And then friends who work for the enemy, they know all your, you know, what you have and this and that. So these two you must always be very, very careful about.
In the story of Lord Ramachandra, when Vibhishan came, so all his ministers, they advised him not to accept him, because based on that principle.
No, but he's, yeah, means...
He's not a deserter, but still, because he's coming from the enemy's camp.
Yeah, he's coming from the enemy's camp, but here who returned from the enemy's camp. So he's a deserter of that side, and he's coming to your camp. Maybe dangerous, but more dangerous is someone who was yours, went to the other side,
yes,
and then came back. That's even more dangerous. But yeah, that's there. So that's why, even if it's there, you still must check. You must see. You know, you must test. So it appears that, you know, Ramachandra was happy with his testing. He should, however, try to conquer his foes by conciliation. By well-applied gifts and by creating dissension, used either separately or conjointly, never by fighting, if it can be avoided.
Creating dissension?
That's beta. Huh? Beta. Means splitting, dividing people up.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the point is if they're all together, then they'll be strong.
So divide and conquer.
But you divide and conquer. That's the thing. But here the point is being made. Now of this, the most clear is conciliation and war, right? They're the most clear, because the other two are a bit more political. But still, because war, you don't really know how it will work out. You know, because some little thing can completely change the actual effect. And it's much more dangerous. So always you would prefer conciliation, but if that doesn't work, you will try the other two. Right?
Yes. I think there's a Chinese proverb that says the first victim of war is your strategy.
Yes.
Because you never know what's going
on. Yeah, yeah. Because you don't know what his strategy is, or there's always be some unknown. Right? Because if everything was known so clearly that you would win, why would the other party be bothering you? Yeah. When for two princes fight, victory and defeat in the battle are, as experience teaches, uncertain. Let him therefore avoid an engagement. So always try to avoid war. So even though they're prepared for war, they know everything about war, they always try to avoid it. Like that. So you always try to use other methods. But if even those three before mentioned expedients fail, then let him duly exerting himself fight in such a manner that he may completely conquer his enemy. Right? So in other words, if the other three don't work and there's no other alternative, then with full conviction, then you go to war. Right? In other words, you can't go to war not convinced. Right? You know, you have to be completely committed to it. The point is you've tried everything else doesn't work, so that only means then this is there. So then you with full conviction, then you do. But it says fight in such a manner. In other words, you look at all the different things. It means just because you are now going to fight doesn't mean now it's just an emotional hours. No, he very clearly goes in and deals in such a way that he won't be defeated. Okay, victory. When he has gained victory, let him duly worship the gods and honor righteous Brahmins. Let him grant exemptions and let him cause promises of safety to be proclaimed. Right? Means he's defeated the other side, right? Like that. So he worships the gods, honors the Brahmins, because this is how everything works very nicely, right? He says, by the grace of the Lord and the devotees, and it all works. Grant him exemptions, you know, those who, because one has to understand is that people do things out of self-preservation. So you have to be able to discern what has been done from that and what is actual an evil person. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, so evil persons are always dealt with strongly. But if they're not evil, they're just, you know, the circumstances, then you're dealing with them nicely. And promises of safety to your, you know, the common people that everything will be all right. Because point is, if you're the conqueror, and then you take care of the people, then they'll be quite happy. Because for the people, they really, it's not important to them who's in charge. It's just as long as who's in charge is nice. That's all. They don't really care. So they should be safe, just because they're in the other country and this and that. But if you go in and deal with them, oh, you are this guy's men, and then gives them trouble, then it's like, well, you know, why not be that guy's man, you know? But having fully ascertained the wishes of all the conquered, let him place their relative of the vanquished ruler on the throne, and let him impose his conditions. Right? So now in putting someone on the throne, it's not just who he wants, it's who would the people want. Right? But at the same time, it has to be someone who he can agree with. But the basic thing is, so if he's conquered the king, then if everybody's supportive of his son, then you make him the king. You know, but if it's someone else, then you make them the king. You know, if the son happens to be seen as bad, maybe it's the nephew or the cousin or the brother or, you know, the prime minister, somebody, then you make them the king. Yes.
If he makes his son a king, wouldn't it be natural for his son to want a revenge for the death of his, not death, but whatever?
No, because they're kings. This is what they do for fun. You know what I'm saying? It's just part of duty, so it's not taken necessarily as personal. We see the demons tend to take it more personally, you know. But the others, it's not. It means, in other words, if it was a proper war, then why would there be bad feelings? It's just whoever won. You know, we see with the demons, you know, because Baka was upset because they had killed Hidimba, who was, you know, I don't know, a friend or relative or something. So there they don't forgive. No, but it also, you have to be satisfied that they're going to be proper. But also you've conquered them, so that means you're stronger. So if they're willing to function under your rule, then it's nice. Yes?
Prabhupada mentions that death on the battlefield for the Chakra, Elmex, to some planet.
Yeah.
Very glorious.
Yeah. You know, so it's not that they... If it's proper and they die on the battlefield, they're elevated heavenly planets anyway, so it's not a loss.
It's just, you know, in the literature you always see this one, always remember that his father was king.
Yeah, but that's not generally so much the Vedic literature. That's the tribal literature. Yeah, so that's what he said, when you drop down into tribals, then they remember these things. So that's why you'd have to just see is that the point is Why wouldn't it also be a problem is because the reason for the war, there was some proper reason. You know, but if it's just you are just trying to go out and conquer everybody, then there's a good chance they may not be so. But at the same time, sometimes you've conquered by giving position, then they feel how do you say? Because you could put someone else there. So if you put them there, then they feel some
gratitude.
Yeah, gratitude like that. So you just have to see what it is. Because as by the point before, you have to arrange everything so you can't be defeated. Like that. Okay, but it says let him impose his conditions. So what taxes would be there, or, you know, what considerations would be there. Then he makes that very clear, yes.
Do you have to be a tribal to be a demon?
No. Jarasandha wasn't a tribal, he was a demon. Like that. You know, and tribals themselves don't have to be demons.
No, I figured that much, but...
No.
Yeah, okay.
It means you have sophisticated and unsophisticated demons, or cultured and uncultured. Let him make authoritative the lawful customs of the inhabitants, just as they are stated to be, and let him honor the new king and his chief servants with precious gifts. So now that he's conquered, he's set the new king there. So whatever the laws of the land are that aren't actually against Aryan principles, then if that's their standard, then he authorizes them. In other words, it's not because the laws are different, therefore it's a problem. But as long as they're not against the Vedic principles, then it's fine. Right? And so, and then the king himself and his whoever is going to be his chief servants then honors them with position, gifts, and everything like that. And so then it's nice because then he's done nicely. He's a good sport, you know. He's supportive. He appreciates what they're doing because now basically they'll be working for him. Right? Means they're their own king of their own kingdom, but they have to be taxed to him because he's the superior king. The seizure of desirable properly, which causes displeasure, and its distribution, which causes pleasure, are both recommendable, if they are resorted to at the proper time. Right? By seizing the property, which causes problem, you may be able to bring about what peace and that you want. And then once you've gotten that, by now distributing, then again, people are happy. Right? So both are recommended, but you have to know what to do when, like that. If you're in control, then by being nice, people will be there. When you're not in control, by doing something that throws them off so they can see they're not in control, then that would be. All undertakings in this world depend both on the ordering of fate and on human exertion. But among these two, the ways of fate are unfathomable. In the case of man's work, action is possible. So in other words, there's two things. You make your endeavor, then it's up to the supreme will what the result will be. You can't control that. So all you can do is control what exertion you make. Right? So in other words, if you're making an effort that's based on what's appropriate and proper to do, then that's as good as you can do. Then what the result will be, that's up to the Lord. Right? So, but it's not that, it's up to the Lord, so I won't do anything. No, because you make the endeavor, then there's a result. But all you can do is control your endeavor. You can't control what result actually will be there. Yes?
This statement appears to give sort of equal weighting to...
No, it's not a matter of giving equal weighting. It's giving the point that you can't control faith, so don't worry about it. You worry about your endeavor. You know, the Lord will worry about the results. But you know that the results aren't yours, so whatever comes, that's what comes by faith.
Is the same also brought out in Arthashastra, or do they give more stress on endeavor there?
They're showing what you do. Arthashastra will say, what is your endeavor? But it's still up to the Supreme. But it's not talked about as much as Dharmashastra. Like Dharma will put more on that mood. Artha will put more on the appropriate action. You know, and if an attitude affects the action, then it'll be mentioned. But it's not as much talking about one's own personal development in these things. Because it's already been explained here, so you're performing Artha based on Dharma. Yes.
The most important value for the king is virtue. Shouldn't be compromised?
Yeah, basically.
So political reasons and all that stuff will always be secondary?
Yes, but I'm saying politics is the tools that you're using to affect a peaceful environment in which the citizens will be safe. But that means you're trying to create a stable, peaceful environment. So if there's individuals because of, it means either there's something happened by natural calamity or others are creating problems, you have to try to make the adjustments to correct that. So since you have to work with other people, then you have the political element. Because wherever people, you know, men and money is, you're going to have politics. I say, you know, people say decry politics and this and that, but politics being done not for a proper purpose is a problem. But so is anything. So is you know, eating, you know, or going for a walk. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, it's like, you know, the firemen decide that, you know, it's been a while or something and they haven't had some quality time together. So they decide to go on a walk, but, you know, they're just, the bell is ringing that, you know, downtown is on fire. But, you know, they decide to go. But it's a nice, peaceful walk. They're spending quality time together. And, you know, they're getting to catch up, you know, because they're always so busy. You would say that's a nice thing, but the timing is wrong. So that's the whole point, is this whole thing where we just say politics is bad, just totally. That means it's not being understood. No, that's how you deal. You know, this idea that you're just frankly blunt about everything. But why would you be frankly blunt about it? Because the other people don't want to hear. You know what I'm saying? You know, that you thought what they did was stupid. They don't want to hear it. So you're thinking, no, I'm being truthful, so I have to tell him. But that's all about yourself. It's not about the other person. You know what I'm saying? The other person just wants to hear when you're stupid. He doesn't want to hear when he's stupid. Right? You know? That's the thing, is that the element of so-called these truths and all these other so-called good, you know, ideas and isms and everything, they have their place. If they're used in their place, they're useful. But if they're not used in their place, then they're not very useful. Is that anything? Yeah? Yes.
Maharaj, there's two parties. And if there's a friction, how does one determine their endeavor? To sort things out.
The point is well, who is the one party, who is the other? What are their duties? What is their natural position? You know, and then what's their reason for creating friction?
Okay, so let's say there's two parties, two devotees, there's a friction, and one is not sure what's the cause of the friction. So that means one has to endeavor to actually identify the friction.
Are you talking about this is worked out by a third party, or this is just between the two parties?
Two parties.
Yeah, so the two parties, then the thing is who are you and what are you supposed to be doing? What is your relationship with the other party? What are your duties towards the interaction with that other party? If you're doing that properly, then, but if you're clear about that, you should also know what their duties are. See, the thing is the modern, because there's no definition of the individual, then you don't actually know who you are, and therefore you don't know who the other person is. So you don't know what you're supposed to do, because an individual has duties. So that means every individual has duties, right? That's the difficulty when you have a speculative system. It's just, you know, whatever you feel like and everything like that. Then that always is going to be a problem, right? But that's why in the Vedic it goes into detail on everything. So we'll say, oh, so many rules, but all those rules are so you know who you are and who the other person is. Right? Because otherwise, if at any time they could do anything. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so. Okay, making allies. Or the king bent on conquest, considering a friend, gold, and land to be the triple result of an expedition, may, using diligent care, make peace with his foe and return to his realm. Okay, so here he's victory, and he's conquered, he's put his conditions, or he may consider it that the conquest is actually the benefit that he has this person as now an ally. He's conquered him, and then they'll work with him. But he says, but diligent care, make peace. So that means that maybe he hasn't removed the king, right? The king is still there. But now he may find that the conquest, rather than defeating the king in that way, just that he has shown his power, and now he will have an ally, they'll pay some tax, like that, and they may get some land or something like this, you know, in that process. So then he'll see that it's fine. You know, he'll leave it at that. Having paid due attention to any king in the circle of neighboring states who might attack him in the rear, and to his supporter who opposes the latter, let the conqueror secure the fruit of the expedition from the prince whom he attacks, whether he may have become friendly or remained hostile. Right, so whatever it is you want to gain, then it's here. Because it also means that even if you remain hostile. But the point is let's say he had some of your land or they were giving trouble, you go in and conquer him, you put your conditions, then he may not become friendly. He may still remain hostile, but you got your work done. You know, so it would be nice if you got land, money, and an ally. But if you just got land, money, and that's all, or you just got land, or you just got money, something you got. Huh.
Didn't we go on the list of what are the good reasons for a war?
I think it was mentioned before, but I don't really remember. I don't know, do you remember a place where it's saying? But generally the point is you're trying to maintain peace. So whatever's disturbing peace, then that's what you're dealing with. So you use the first three to try to create peace. If that doesn't work, then war will be there.
Are they the same ones mentioned by Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita? Someone invading your land, commits arson, stealing your property, kidnaps your wife.
Yeah, it's just like you see Ramachandra, then they kidnap the wife. Or, you know, that Troy, then they kidnap the wife. Or, you know, it works. Yeah. Some of the biggest wars were that one, right? You know. Okay, so. Okay. By gaining gold and land, a king grows not so much in strength as by gaining a firm friend. So. It's saying here is that by gaining an ally, that's better than gaining land or gold. Because gold, okay, you can do something with it, but the gold's not going to fight for you. It'll help you make facility, but it doesn't think, it doesn't plan. You know, and land means you got to manage it. Right? Well, if you have a friend, he'll manage his own land, and he'll have, you know, be able to think.
This is along the lines, a couple of days ago we talked about how the one with the plan is the strongest, not the one with the power of facilities.
Yes.
Same way.
Yeah, like that, same kind of, By gaining gold land, a king grows not so much in strength as by obtaining a firm friend, who, though weak, may become powerful in the future. That's why kings are never disregarded. He may be in a weak position, but don't insult him because he may grow powerful later. Like that. A weak friend even is greatly commended, who is righteous and grateful, whose people are contented, who is attached and persevering in his undertakings. Right? Weak just means he's not very powerful. Weak doesn't mean that, you know, he can't pick up, you know, his chapati or something. You know, it just means, you know, that he may not be very great in his, you know, how you say, wealth or power or something, but it doesn't mean with time he won't be. So here he's who is righteous and grateful. Because if you've done something for him, he will do something for you. If he's not grateful, you've done something for him, he may not feel any obligation to return the favor. Right? Whose people are contented. If his people are contented, means he's a good king. He actually cares about it, about his people. So that person will also be able to properly deal. And is attached and persevering in his undertakings. Right, so he's made his mind to do something and he carries it out. So then he'll be, someone like that is a very good ally, because if he decides he's going to help, he'll see that he gets it done. Right? But if he can't focus or he can't accomplish things in that, then he won't be much of an ally, because he can't do things. And if he's not righteous, then it may appear he's going to help and he doesn't. Right? The wise declare him to be the most dangerous foe. So this is a commended ally. The wise declare him to be a most dangerous foe, who is wise, of noble race, brave, clever, liberal, grateful, and firm. Right? In other words, he has all good qualities. That's your worst enemy.
Yeah.
You know, they always like you as a worst nightmare. But no, it's the good guy is your worst nightmare, because he actually has the intelligence, the sense of control to actually affect a plan. The other person will just be really crazy. But if you can get past the crazy, then, you know, it's over. Like that. Because he's wise, so he'll know the Shastra, he'll do things properly, he'll take wise counsel. Noble race means he'll be dignified, he'll do things properly. Brave means he's not afraid, so you can't use some other tricks than that to get him. He's clever, so he's practical, he'll get things done. Liberal, so his people will be satisfied, his army will be satisfied. So he'll have a very strong position of great support, right? If he's not liberal, you don't have much support. It's only by fear, so as soon as that's broken. So grateful, so that means he will deal properly with his allies properly. So that makes him strong. And firm means he's fixed, so he's not going anywhere.
It's not even unfair if he conquers you.
Yeah, no, so therefore it's...
Yeah. Actually would be a better thing.
Yeah, behavior worthy of an Aryan. Knowledge of men, bravery, a compassionate disposition, and great liberality are the virtues of a neutral who may be courted. Right? So, you know, proper behavior, knowledge of how, you know, to deal with people, bravery, compassionate disposition, and great liberality is a neutral. So the neutral is, he's the one on the other side of your ally. Right? In other words, the guy next to you may be a foe. Right? After that, then is the ally. The one after that's the neutral. So then you want to court the neutral and the ally. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah, because if he's your friend, then your enemy, he won't be supportive of your enemy. Because your enemy is his natural friend.
Could there be some confusion amongst your ally and the neutral, because they would then actually be enemies, like from the same system? So that you're courting both of them.
It means you have to be. You know, it means you have. It's delicate. You have to watch. But at the same time, then it can be that both of them will assist you in the enemy. You know, or if he's creating a problem for your ally, then you could have some influence so that try to, through conciliation, work it out. You know, so you're always busy trying to keep the circle of neighbors peaceful. Because if they're peaceful, your kingdom can be peaceful. If they're fighting, then there's every chance it may spill over into your territory. So you want to, like that. That's why it's always important. Reversal. A wise king, seeing that all kinds of misfortunes violently assail him, at the same time should try all the four expedients, be it together or separately, in order to save himself. Right? So if all kinds of things are happening, he should be trying all the things to see if they work. Right? Mm-hmm. On the person who employs the expedients, on the business to be accomplished, and all the expedients collectively, on these three let him ponder and strive to accomplish his ends. Right? So means the where you're applying those expedients, right? And how you're applying the expedients, right? All that you should be looking at to see how to make it work. Because if you don't know who you're applying it to, how do you know if what you're applying will work? Right? So you have to know the technique of what you're using, but you also have to know who you're applying it on. Does that make sense? Like that.
The Kshatriya is one intelligence quite superior to the middle class. His intelligence
is quite... Yes, yeah, of course. That's why they're in the position they're in. Because they know this field. It means everybody has an expertise in the field. You know, just like, let's say, a carpenter, he knows wood and knows how to deal and how his tools work, so he can make all kinds of amazing things. But the king, he knows, you know, people, he knows politics, he knows power. You know, he knows all these things. So for him, this is normal. You know, he can see all that. You know, and then fighting the battlefield, it's like for us, it's just all these things are happening at once. For him, it's not all happening. It means this is happening, this guy's swinging this way, that one's doing that, and this is that. So you just know what to do with it. Does that make sense? You know, a cook goes in the kitchen, he can be cooking it, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 things at once. You know, and but he can think of all of them at once. It's not a problem, because that's what is his field. So for the kings, this is their field, so that's why they can think in this way. But it's a very intense field. That's why they have the facility, you know, both for affecting that and for relaxing. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if you're worried about the whole country at the same time as at night you're worried about mosquitoes, you know, that's not the point. You're worrying about the country, let someone else worry about the mosquitoes. So therefore there's servants there to make sure there's no mosquitoes. You know what I'm saying? So one could say, oh no, that's enjoy. No, it's not. It's just the environment in which you can focus on running the country. Now if they become distracted, as we saw before, and just get distracted by the love of pleasure, that will be detrimental. But that pleasure is there. That just makes it easy to you know, for when he's not thinking about those things, to relax, or even if he's thinking about themselves, it's a comfortable environment, there's no distraction. You know, you can't think about something seriously when you're constantly trying to get rid of mosquitoes, or you're hungry, or wondering where your clothes are, or, you know what I'm saying, little things like that. That's, you know, so someone else worries about those things, he worries about the country. But, you know, but as it says, you know, he knows, how you say, in knowledge of men, he knows how to deal properly and how to interact, so everybody's happy doing their job. They don't feel that they're being exploited. Like that. Because it's not for his enjoyment, that's just for the post. Because we see the kings, when their time as a king is over, right, the son is crowned or whatever like that, they go to the forest, they don't take anything with them. It's not like, well, this has been my favorite sword, or I really like this crown, or, you know, they don't take anything. So therefore, the facility was just for the office. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Just like the guys, you know, running a company, and they want to get rid of them. So there's a severance package, right? You know, so many millions and millions. But the king's doing something even greater than that. Is there a severance package? No. It's just, he leaves. You know what I'm saying? You know, the president, the prime minister, they're there, they have all the facility. But when the new person comes in, he's got nothing. He walks out with, he doesn't, you know, well, I really like the curtains in the room, so I'm taking it with me. You know, I put them up there, you know, my wife chose the color. You know, no, it just stays there. Does that make sense?
But when another president came, usually change the curtains.
That's another thing. It depends on the, you know, yeah.
He also has a wife.
Yes. But most of the time it's that, I think, at least in the White House, it's that's already been done. Because you have the Roosevelt room means his wife did that one. And you have this room and they did that one. So you just leave them alone.
Okay.
You know. I think there's, you know, in your own private quarters you can do what you like, but in these formal ones they're already set. You know, because somebody else already did it. You know, so, and they were big enough to pull it off, and so it stays that way. That makes sense. You know, it's like, how many of the first ladies you've heard of? So the ones that you have, you leave their curtains alone. So basically, that's the. You know. Okay. So in other words, on the person who employs, on the business to be accomplished, and all these things together. So in other words, the situation, the person applying it, right? What is to be done? So all the different aspects is there, whether you're sambandha, you're abhideya, you're prayojana, you have to look at everything there. So again, it comes back to very simple, right? In other words, you're trying to arrange it that no harm comes to you, right? And you do that by looking at what is the situations, who's doing what, and what results are to be done. So again, it comes down to very, very simple. It's not complicated. The details are so much, but it's not complicated.
Oh.
Yes. Okay, now back to his day. So that was what he's thinking about at noontime. Those are the noontime deliberations. Okay? You know, so all the four, the six, the eight, you know, all those different things. Subsequent duties. Having thus consulted with his ministers on all these matters, having taken exercise and having bathed afterwards, the king may enter the inner apartments at midnight in order to dine. Right? So even, you know, he still has a life, you know. He has to go home and eat and, you know, spend time with the family and all that. And then there he may eat food which has been prepared by faithful, incorruptible servants. You know, the proper time for dining and which has been well examined. Right? Well examined that it hasn't been, you know, poisoned. When he has dined, he may divert himself with his wives. But when he has diverted himself, he must, in due time, again think of the affairs of the state. Right? So he comes in, he does his exercise, he takes his meal, he spends time with the family, but then again he has to get back to the affairs of the state. Right? So in a normal time, he just spends, you know, a certain time with the family and gets back to work. Family needs extra time, then he may spend more time, but that's not a standard thing. Or times when it's less, because sometimes there's something important, so he may spend less. But the point is that he's spending proper time for both. Adorned with his robes of state, let him again inspect his fighting men, all his chariots and beasts of burden, the weapons and accoutrements. Right, so now adorned with the robes of state, because when he goes to court, we'll see when the next chapter, he doesn't wear fancy clothes. Right? You know, it's proper, but it's not fancy. But now he wears the things of state, show he's the king or he's whatever it is that he's. So that he goes out, and then all the military people, and then whatever is his vehicles, is all his things like that. He checks all that. So that's in the evening, right? So this means after lunch, in the evening he goes out and checks everything like that. But that's more your formal outgoing kind of thing. The earlier part of the day is all the internal kind of. Having performed his twilight devotions, right, so that means now that goes up until sundown. Let him, well armed, hear in an inner apartment the doings of those who make secret reports and of his spies. Right, so now he's gone out and on all the official kind of things, and then he comes back, his evening sadhana, and then he goes into a private place, but he's well armed, you know, because you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, now he hears from all the people about what's going on. All the, you know, the spies come back after what they've seen. You know, any of the more, what would be the word for it? Yeah, secret reports, right? So then his ministers may be giving that, spies may be giving that, all these different things that he has to know. Because these things then he knows, and so he makes his plan for the next day. Right? Because if during the day something's happened around, some king's done something, someone's doing something, you have to be ready for that for the next day.
Previously it was written that he should do those spies and everything, very secret things,
field on the heel or something. This is not their secret. No, it seems to be this one's inside.
Because there are spies, you know.
Yeah. I think the other's making plans. This is just you're hearing what's going on. You know what I'm saying?
Does that make sense? Make your plans.
Yeah, but that's not being discussed here. It means you don't discuss with the spy what's the plan. You're just hearing reports. Okay? Now, look at it from another side. Now, if you're out in some way where no one can hear, no one can see, it doesn't mean that you also don't get rid of all the hunchbacks and, you know, everything like that. And, so I guess that would be the thing. If you have your secret meetings in a bell tower, make sure you get rid of the hunchback first. Right? You know, like that. So the thing is those are plans that you don't want anybody to know. Because there it's a matter of what your strengths are, what your plans are, what your, you know, facilities are. That's what no one should hear. But now, this is secret reports, meaning things that you have heard about others. Okay? Does that make sense? So there's a difference. But at the same time as you're making the point, well, what if people hear that? Okay? But what if you have, someone has their spies out, and you have your spies out? Okay? So now your spies hear my spies telling all the things about you. How does that make you feel? It doesn't put you in a strong position. You understand? So it's actually not a bad thing if their spies find out what your spies know. Because then he knows that you know. So then immediately, you know, just that itself. So does that make sense? You know, that's the... Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why sometimes you'll see when they're dealing with the espionage things, in things that it's not going to compromise anything, sometimes they let them know that they're doing it. You know, does that make sense? You know, it's just like the other side thinks they're confident and this and that, and they're making all this trouble and all that, and then you somehow or another let leak out that you have your own men out there in burqas and machine guns. So they just think it's ladies walking through the street. So now, are they going to go and check all their ladies? You know, so this starts to freak them out. So then they think you have more control and more influence than they were expecting. You know what I'm saying? But it doesn't mean, you know, there's millions of ladies out there in burqas, so which one? So, you know, either they start a thing and check them all, you know, or they, you know, kind of calm down in their attitude. That makes sense? Yeah. No?
Yeah.
Okay. But going to another apartment, dismissing those people, he may enter the inner apartments in order to dine again. I'm not sure why that was made small. That one, I think we could. Because that's straightforward. In other words, now dismissing those, he goes to another one, so he doesn't stay there. Because the king has so many apartments, so he's always moving through the apartments, so you don't necessarily know where he is. Or to get at him, you'd have to go through so many apartments. You know what I'm saying? Because much of the time, the modern apartments are all built off. You have one room, everything goes off of it, and it's all connected like that. But you see, a lot of times in the Vedic, there's one room is connected to the next room to connect to the next. So you have to go through the rooms. So you can block them off so you can actually stop fighting. But these other ones, you can come in anywhere, through the door, through the window, through this and that. But these other ones, no, you can't. They just go one right after another, and they go in inner and inner and inner, so like that. Having eaten there something for the second time, right, because he had lunch, right, because we mentioned here, you were asking about breakfast.
Yeah.
So it says here second time, so it appears he doesn't eat breakfast. It means the court goes straight through.
Yeah. Is Krishna Kirtan that asked about breakfast?
Oh, you asked about breakfast.
He's talking about
Holland. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's not breakfast. That's just...
That's universal.
Yeah, that's any just... Anytime. Just, yeah. You just keep the bucket next to you. Yeah. So maybe that's it. Everybody has their bucket of Holland, so they just... You know, while they're listening to the thing. You know. What do you think? You know?
Yeah.
Everybody has their own little shovel, you know, like the kids have for sand.
Yeah.
Sand and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Having eaten there something for the second time and having been recreated by the sound of music, let him go to rest and rise at the proper time, free from fatigue. All right? So free from fatigue means he should take rest at the proper time. You know, he shouldn't stay up all night. So So that means he's eaten for the second time, and then he's, you know, sat and family, listen to some music or some kind of thing like that, and then, you know, that's peaceful, then take rest. Because if he doesn't, if it's not peaceful, his mind doesn't relax, how is he going to apply himself to focusing again the next day? Right? You know, that's the idea.
Usually the kings, they have many wives, so they all sit together?
No, that's defined somewhere else. But means there's general inner apartments, and then there's the specific apartment of the wife. So where he'll eat, he may eat in her chamber, he may not, it may be in some other place. Because it's not necessarily that would be it. You'd have to see what it is like that. But when he comes in to that in that evening, but going to another apartment, may enter the inner apartments. So when he enters that, that's when he sees all the wives together. But that means then, because they're all together, then he has to deal with all of them at the same time, and he has to be able to say something unique about each one that they'll be satisfied that he noticed, and the others will consider it as their quality. It's part of the, you know, the mode of passion challenge, you know, like that. You know, so they just see like that. Then after that, then he goes to wherever he's going. Does that make sense? So he may go back to his place, because there they've all seen him. But if now he walks off with one of the queens, they know who he's with. So they'll be jealous, right? So then he goes back to his apartments. And then when he goes to whichever particular queen he's with, the others don't actually know who he's with. Okay. That's how I think they're arranged. I think it's Jaipur. Unless it's another place. It means all the apartments are in a line. But they each have their own door through the back, through the roof. But they have their terraces out into the parks and that, so they can't see each other's apartments. So they don't know. Because they have their door downstairs, but you have a hallway so their people can see. But on the roof, none of the queens have their people. That's only the king and his men, you know, the soldiers. So then through there he goes down. And so then they don't know which apartment he's in.
So he's kind of sneaking around.
Yeah, it's part of the fun. You know, yeah. So in other words, most people's concept of what it means, many wives, is they don't know what they're talking about. You know, in other words, the guy who would talk about it would be great to have many wives is the guy who doesn't know what he's talking about. The guy who has the capability or that to do that wouldn't talk about it. You know, like that.
With many things like that.
Sorry?
With many things like
that. Yeah. It's said that an empty pot makes a lot of noise. The full pot, like this, you know, doesn't make any noise. But if it's empty, it makes a big bang, yeah. A king who is in good, conclusion of the duties of kings. A king who is in good health must observe these rules. But if he is indisposed, he may entrust all his business to his servants. Right? So if he's in good health, he should do everything. If he's not, then the prime minister with the other ministers, they'll take care of all this. Right. You know, except for his eating dinner. That he'll do himself. Okay. Well, we've got a few more minutes. Okay. So now, chapter 8. That's when you start to see is maybe it's not so great being a king. Means for kings it's fine being kings, but other people talk about it as if, you know, it's some special thing that, because they only look at the facilities, they don't look at the work. This chapter you find out actually what the work is. You know. So for a king, that's his work. He has no problem. But for others, they want the facilities, no work. Right? Discourse 8. Topic 17. The manner of deciding lawsuits. Right? So there's 25 topics, so we're already up to topic 17, right? So we're, you know, quite well through. But within topic 17, there's the 18 titles of the laws, so we'll discuss all the laws. So in other words, this discourse is very big. Okay, the manner of deciding lawsuits, that's the topic, right? So first, arranging the court of justice, right? Because if you're going to decide the lawsuits, you have to have the proper court. A king desirous of investigating law cases must enter his court of justice, preserving a dignified demeanor, together with Brahmins and with experienced counselors. Right? So he's dignified. You know, he shouldn't be too relaxed, he shouldn't be frivolous, he shouldn't be very, mean and nasty. He just has to be dignified, you know, something respectable. And he goes there with persons who are qualified. You know, the Brahmins, counselors, people who know the field, you know, can give advice, you know, either from practical, you know, the counselors, or from the Shastra of the Brahmins, or the counselors may also be Brahmins, or whatever. Mm-hmm. There, either seated or standing, raising his right arm without ostentation in his dress and ornaments, let him examine the business of suitors. Right? So he's going to dress not in a way that's flashy. It's just appropriate, it's dignified. In other words, this dress is dignified, as opposed to what we said in the afternoon when he goes and checks the army. That's a royal dress, right?
Why he does that? In the evening it's
true. Because you're men, they're dressed up in their uniform, and you're dressed up in your uniform, so everybody's, you know, that's...
Uniform.
You don't like dress up.
No, just to make him fired up, that's when he's...
This is because the court is, you're dealing with law. So the point is, it's not how fancy the king is. That's another occasion. That's when you're being the king. Then you want to dress up. Right? Who just sing in England. In that, what was that place called? Wolsey's Court. Can't remember. He was a cardinal, but he had the fanciest place. Hampton, I think it's called. I think it was called Hampton. Fanciest of all the courts. And when you go in, the first thing you go through is the great hall, but most don't do them anymore. You know, they're all stuff you read about in Beowulf and all that. You know, is that they had the great hall, and then after that they had the other places. So he had this great hall. And I think it was one of the last built in Europe, like that. And so it was. Well, how big would it be? Yeah, I'm not sure how wide it was. It was quite big. You know, very, very high ceilings. You know, big walls like this, and it was lined with benches. You know, like tables, because that's where all the courtiers would eat. So 600 courtiers, you know, 200 at a time. You know, say start lunch at 10:30, and then when that group is done, then the next one, like that. And so then, but on the walls, he had these tapestries.
Tapestries?
They're like rugs with design in them, like pictures or things like that. But instead of putting them on the floor, you hang them on the wall. These things they're huge. You know, they're maybe like 4 meters high and 6 meters long or something. Some of them maybe even bigger, but like that, huge. And they're all done with wool and then with silk, and the ones in there had gold and silver threads. So up to, I think it was 50% was gold and silver, you know, within it. And it's said that of the queen's possessions, right, because she's the, you know, heir from Henry's, that after the crown jewels, these tapestries in that room are the most valuable thing in her possession. This is what he hangs in the common hall where his courtiers eat. Right? Other places you won't see such fancy stuff. But now, when somebody comes, let's say the ambassador from France or from this or that comes, they'll walk into this place, and this is where his courtiers eat. And it looks like that. So what does that mean? That means this guy's got unlimited wealth, so you don't want to have a war with him because he'll just keep on going forever. You know what I'm saying? So part of it was, you know, just the opulence, but most of it was actually political power. Is that if he could, like, one tapestry, you could build a battleship for. You know? So then it's like, if he's got enough money to, you know, instead of building battleships, build tapestries, then how many battleships does he have? You know? So that's the you know, one of the techniques. So that means that's done when you're being the king. But when you're dealing with justice, then it's a matter of the court. So the focus is on that. So the dress is not so fancy. You know, it's appropriate as being the king. You know, you're not going to walk in and like he'll be sitting there in a gumshoe or something. Yeah, flip flops.
Yeah.
I said, you know, got his tinny, you know. Daily deciding one after another all cases which fall under the 18 titles of the law according to principles drawn from local usages and from the institutes of the sacred law. Right? So, in other words, he's going to decide based on the 18 kinds of cases, right? Based on what the Shastra says and by the usage, what has been the local use. But you have the Shastra to always go back to, right? Modern law only deals with usage, right? They're called precedent. But the point is the precedent has to be based on the eternal principles of the law. Right? So that's the one advantage. So everything becomes condensed. The law book is one book. You don't have to have so many books. Right? But the modern, you have to have so many. But you have, that's why it's counselors and experienced persons, is they know how it was dealt with or how this king dealt or that. So if if it's obvious, yes. But if it's not, then they'll discuss and say, yes, if this king had this, he did like this. And then you see what's it, if it applies. Right? Yes.
What was the significance of raising his right arm?
I guess it's, just making the point, because you're making points. Because you make points with your right hand. You know, you make the point, or you make the what do you call it? You know, somebody makes a point, and then you're what you say back, and stuff like that, so. Right? Like that. So this is the 18 titles of the law. Of those titles, the first is the non-payment of debts. Then follow deposit and pledge. 3, sale without ownership. 4, concerns amongst partners. And 5, redemption of gifts. Resumption of gifts. 6, non-payment of wages. 7, non-performance of agreements. 8, rescission of sale and purchase. 9, disputes between the owner of cattle and his servants. 10, disputes regarding boundaries. 11, assault. 12, defamation. 13, theft and robbery. 14, violence. 15, adultery. 16, duties of man and wife. 17, partition of inheritance. 18, gambling and betting. These are in this world the 18 topics which give rise to lawsuits. Right? Depending on the eternal law, let him decide the suits of men, who mostly contend on the titles just mentioned. So in other words, what causes disputes amongst people are within these 18 categories. Right, and the more clear it is in that, those are the ones to deal with nicely, you know, like that. If they're too convoluted, then it has to be worked out by somebody until it becomes obvious what it is. Okay, 17.3, so yeah. Arranging the court of justice, right? So now, you know, you think, okay, you know, the big king and that, he has his court and this and that, but this is what he's dealing with. So this is the reality. If you don't want to get down to this level of dealing with people's problems, you know, then don't become the king. You know, do something else, you know. Become a celebrity or something.
Well.
Well, seemingly as all fine, except for the paparazzo.
When it was taken from the kings to do with the world, when it started?
Probably when either there wasn't any or they didn't want to do. Because the point is if he's not doing it, someone else can't do it. Generally, he does it himself. But if he doesn't, then it'll tell who can do it. Like that. Oh, here, it's this next thing. Arranging the court. Appointing judges and assessors. But if the king does not personally investigate the suits, then let him appoint a learned Brahmin to try them. Right? So generally it would be either a Brahmin who would do that or the prime minister, like that.
Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why would he delegate?
Why would he
delegate?
He might be busy doing something else. Like that. Generally he'd do it himself. Right? Just like it says before. If he's healthy, he would do all these things. And if he's not healthy, only let his servants do. So this is one of his duties, is the court. Right? Because it mentioned before, he would go to the court, but it didn't give any details. It just said he'll go to the court in the morning, and then after that, then he'll discuss with the ministers. In one sentence, it talks about court. So here now, it'll be two chapters talking about the court. That man shall enter the most excellent court, accompanied by three assessors, and fully consider all cases brought before the king, either sitting down or standing. There, where three Brahmins versed in the Vedas and the learned judge appointed by the king sit down, they call that court the court of four-faced Brahman. Right? It's like Brahma. You know, he's got four faces. So you have the judge and he has three assessors. Right, so he is. So you know, they're always worried about having uneven numbers. But they generally have three judges and one of them head. But the point is that's okay for making the final decision. But how does he make a decision? You understand? Because there's two people. What if this one says this and that one says that? It's uneven. So that's for he's a single person. So it makes a final conclusion. But his assessors are three. Because then you can get two and one, you know, or you know what I'm saying. You get all three, or a split, but you'll never have even, where it's you don't know what to do. And that way, then he makes his decision, right? It's not that he's just one of them who's making a decision; they're assisting him. He's making the final. So that way, then it's four.
Would they decide on the spot, generally?
Most of the time, you can decide on the spot. You know, because for them, it's not that they're taking fees for this, so it's not business, you know, like that. It's just that it's there, the person said, they have to state it, it's they have to deal with it.
Well, because there's an investigation, you know, one says this, one says that, disputes.
But the point is now, let us say I make a case against somebody. Okay, if I win, let's say I say $100,000, you know, dollars, okay, that I want from this person. So now if I win the case, I get my $100,000. If I lose the case, I get nothing. I just walk away. But in the Vedic system is that you bring the case and you're wrong, you get punished. So no one's just going to try to bring a case just to make some money. Well, the modern thing is there's so many cases there because you can make money off of them. You know what I'm saying? You don't sue the company because, you know, the coffee was hot and you spilled it on your lap. Of course coffee's hot, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, you want cold coffee. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, of course, everybody knows that, but you're so stupid you don't know that. And they were supposed to tell you, hey, Mr. Idiot, this coffee's hot. Don't spill it on your lap. You know, but they didn't tell me don't spill it on my hand, you know? Like, you know what I'm saying? So, but if he did that, then he's spending time with the court, you know, and harassing this other person who's just trying to do business. Therefore, he's punished. So right there, you'd probably, a lot of cases would just disappear, you know. And the thing is it wouldn't be that your lawyer could walk out squeaky clean because he's got to, he's representing you, so he has to represent if you're correct or not. He can't just be representing to make money. So therefore, he might get punished also. So you would find so many cases with this.
Suddenly it all becomes very interesting.
Yeah. Because the point is this is not business. You're trying to actually make a protected environment for people to function. Is that... Okay, so we'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Sarvaita Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainita Gaura Premilanda ki.